Christ, the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Welcome to Grits and the Gospel on this beautiful Easter Sunday. We have made the journey through Lent, and now we are in celebration of our risen Lord. Let us come together in a posture of worship and celebration. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verses 6 through 9. Hear now the words of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The Old Testament word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us join together in the affirmation of our faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, it is on this day that we celebrate, that we rejoice and we remember the risen Lord, that he, by his emergence from the tomb, took away our sin and brought us into the heavenly realm with you. We pray now that we will be accepting of that love and kindness, of the beauty of the resurrection that he gave us and you gave us as a gift. Hear us now as we pray together the words of Christ before his death, that he taught the disciples and all of us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us listen now to the gospel according to John and the account of the risen Lord. We'll be in chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to him, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for us, the Easter people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The old rugged cross. Beneath the cross, at the cross, some of our most beloved hymns remember and bring honor to the cross that Jesus died on. Our churches are filled with images of the cross. Denominations use the cross as their symbol. Tattoos of a cross are wildly popular. Under these robes, I'm wearing a cross around my neck. I have a coffee mug that says, "Preach like a girl," that has a cross on it. The cross has become a symbol of Christianity and the religion that began with Jesus. The cross is an important part of Good Friday. The death of Jesus fulfilled many of the Old Testament scriptures that showed the early believers and us today that he was the one that had come to save us all. But the cross is not what saves us. The actual death of the physical body of Jesus is not how we receive the salvation that we are given. The cross was simply a means to an end. Many humans of the time died on crosses. Two other people met the same fate on either side of Jesus by that same means that same day. There were many others that carried the crossbar of their crosses along the road in Jerusalem. Romans were partial to this form of torture and execution. What saves us comes 3 days later on Easter morning. What makes Jesus the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, Christ the King, is the tomb. The rolling away of the stone to reveal the emptiness of the tomb is what saves us. The Johannine telling of the story of the resurrection of Jesus is a very dramatical one. There's lots of running around and crying. The gospel tends to be very dramatic, and the Easter scripture is no exception. Mary Magdalene runs to tell Simon Peter and the other disciple. Then we see them run back to the tomb. I love that John specifically makes the point that the unnamed disciple is the faster one. It's almost as if there was a competition, and John doesn't want to make Peter feel any worse for losing the foot race back to the tomb. Peter then gets to describe the state of the tomb. The rolling of the cloths and those strips of cloth being neatly placed makes my overly organized heart happy. But all those details don't matter to the story. Do they make for a good retelling? Sure. But they have no bearing on our salvation either. What is missing from the tomb? It's what is important. What is not there is more integral to our salvation than how neatly the strips of cloth are placed or how fast Peter can run. Even in our text from Isaiah that speaks of the coming Savior, we see no reference to the means of death that would occur. That's not what is important. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. It is the question that the Isaiah text has already answered. It is the interaction with Mary Magdalene that becomes the most important part of our salvation. Woman, why are you weeping? Twice she is asked, first by the angels and then by Jesus himself, the risen Lord. He is there fulfilling Isaiah to the woman at the tomb. She was having a hard time seeing him through her grief and her tears, and Jesus is there to wipe them away because he is alive. Mary Magdalene had the person of Jesus, risen from the dead, standing directly in front of her, asking her, "Whom are you looking for?" But she could not see. It was the hearing of his voice that caused her to realize what was happening in front of her eyes. She was having a hard time seeing past the cross to the joy of the resurrection. Sometimes that can be true for us as well. It is hard to see salvation and hope and help when tears are blurring our vision. It's hard to see the future when we can't see through our tears. The distortion of the beauty that is standing right before us can sometimes cause us to miss the blessing that could have been seen clearly. Sometimes we have to hear the good news over and over until we believe it. The disciples heard what was coming throughout the ministry of Jesus, but they didn't believe it. They had to see in their own way, whether it was out of breath from running into an empty tomb or through tears of grief, that Jesus had indeed been resurrected. What is God trying to get you to see and hear? What hope and joy and blessing are you missing because your sight is blurred? What have you missed hearing many times over in many different ways that would bring you life and joy? That is the beauty of an empty tomb. That should be the symbol we look to for belief and redemption and hope. Wearing a rock around your neck is not very practical. Hanging a carved out stone is not as aesthetically pleasing as having the symmetry and simplicity of a cross. And I'm not easily parted from my jewelry. I'm also not going to give up my favorite mug, second only to the one that proclaims I am a Wordle queen. I'm not suggesting that we take down all of the crosses that hang in our churches or find a way to make the empty tomb the symbol of the United Methodist Church instead of the cross and flame. I love those old hymns about the cross. I'm not suggesting we give those up. But when we sing of the old rugged cross, I hope we can also remember the words of the hymn we sang today. The words of good old Chuck Wesley. Christ the Lord is risen today. The verses say exactly where our focus should be. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Death in vain forbids him rise. Christ has opened paradise. Lives again, our glorious King. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Once he died our souls to save, where's thy victory boasting grave? Alleluia. He loved us enough to fight battles. He fought them against Pharisees and Sadducees. He also fought for love. Love that we are called to show each other. Love that we are called to show God. Love that opened paradise to all who believe that Jesus rose on Easter morning. In all of these ways, what I am suggesting is that maybe when we see the cross, we think past it. We should see it for what it is, an end of one thing and the beginning of something wonderful and new. The sting of death was taken away by the emptiness of the tomb. We live in a world that knows that the cross is not the end of the story. We get to see that the tomb is really the beginning and where the miracle of salvation and the redemption of the world starts. We get to see the love lived out in a Jesus that overcame death to show us love. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. He wiped her tears so she could see. The first witness, becoming the first preacher of the good news, was the woman that heard the first words of our risen Lord. He says her name, and her life changes forever. He does the same for each one of us here today. He says your name and offers the gift of salvation to each one of us through the sacrifice and resurrection of his body. Today in our service, we will come together at the table on this Easter Sunday. And when we do that, and when you do that in your home church, let us all remember the words that we say each week. The third day, He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He rose so that we can be saved. Amen. As we start our Easter season, let us rejoice. Death has been overcome. It has lost its sting because Christ the Lord is risen today. Because in life and in death and in his life beyond his death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.